What about next Sunday? Easter Sunday. New Year.
Not unless they decide to go in and change some schedules for the week.
Well, they can do that too. Lord can do all that too, so. All righty. Well, let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Start reading with, we're going to start reading. I'm going to read two or three verses. I'm not going to read all. It says, 16 through 20 is all I'm going to read. But Hebrews chapter 6. And he's speaking about the maturity of the Christians, that we must surely allow the Lord to help us with our maturity in Him. But it says, "For man verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them as the end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed by his oath, that by immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled of refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into that wherein the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made and high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." I want to thank God for the reading of His word this morning, and just pray that He will give me the words to say this morning. But here in the book of Hebrews, we see right here, it talks about different things, and we're going to see where the anchor that we have is the anchor that we have in our soul. And we are anchored unto Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. In these difficult days when religion are hanging by a bare thread and their leaders are tossed about by every false wind that blows, while most of the triumphs of the pulpit are given uncertain sounds, and the storm clouds of liberalism continue to rise, it's good to have an anchor that holds. Our anchor holds because it is secure in Him and by the following. It's secure in the eternal word of Scripture. It's the anchor will hold as long as we stay in this, in the Word. As long as we stay in the right Word, in the Scripture. And I'm not talking about some of these other translations I hear, and none of this false doctrine that they got have teaching. But I'm talking about the real Word of God. The independent Baptists and fundamentals is using. But I know some of them are going away from the King James. Some of them are going to the NIV. They're going for the New King James Bible. They're going to the Amplified, and they're going to all of these other translations. That's just like what the other year had a call for a missionary. And I asked him, I said, what Bible do you use? He said, whatever Bible you prefer. I said, no. I said, well, then there's no need me telling you what Bible I use, because, you know, if you just can't come and just on your own, and you know what we believe in. And I said, what we do, what we use in the pulpit is a King James Bible. And he says you can find some false statements in there. I said, well, I haven't found any. I says, it's the true word of God. I said, God tells us what he's saying and what he's not saying. He's telling us how to act and how not to act. But it's a whole lot of individuals today are going that way. Then they're not anchored in anything. They're not anchored at all. But we need to be anchored here in the scripture, in the King James Bible. And that's in verse 18 where we've just read. It says in verse 18 of chapter 6, it says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled from refuge to lay a hold upon the hope set before us. The hope that is set before us is the unchanging of Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, I believe it is, and it's pumping the pages. I ain't got used to these pages yet. Oh, man. Chapter 12 and verse 1. It says this. Oh, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We need to run the race, and as long as we're anchored in the Lord, we can run that race, and we can run that race with surety that we're on the right team. We're on the winning side. Now, I know yesterday, I think they had some individuals running the race there in Danville. The bridge-to-bridge race, and it was for the cancer and everything. But now, you know, but what they went out there, and when they went out there to run that race, they had a goal to set. And what was their goal? Their goal was the finish line. And they didn't, I don't know how many of them maybe bowed out or anything. I don't think any of them probably did. They may be coming a little later than some of the others, but they didn't bow out. They didn't give up. They kept on going. And they kept on going, and they kept on going until they get to the finish line. We haven't got to our finish line, but our finish line is in sight. It's in sight to where we can know that one day we're going to cross that finish line. And when we cross that finish line, when we cross the river there, when we cross everything that this world has and all, and the first heaven and the second heaven, has to offer us, then we're going to enter into the third heaven. And we're going to enter there where the finish line is at. And then that's when we can say, Lord Jesus, it's finished. It's finished. When he comes back after the church, we can all say, it's finished. Now you can say, Lord, it's finished. Your work has been completed. Your work has been completed. And that's through the eternal word of God. And the everlasting sacrifice of Christ the Savior. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. The power, the greatness, the brightness of him is here in God's word, right here. All of it. All we need for our life today is this one book. That's all we need. You know, in the Library of Congress, they got, ain't no telling how many different thousands of books that they got there. But they also got one book. And that one book sets by itself. It sets by itself out in the opening under covered glass. What is it? The Word of God. The King James Bible. That the forefront, the first ones, the President George Washington and Andrew and all of them and Abe Lincoln and all of them used it back then and to establish this country that we live in. That's what this country is founded on. And they say that we cannot speak about politics in church. No, we're not supposed to speak politics in church, but we're supposed to tell people what the Word of God tells us here in His Word and how to run this country. And we need to have men that's godly men that will is willing to do something for the people's sake. They're there for us. They're not there them for themselves, but they're there for us. Just like the Savior's there for us. Just like the Holy Ghost is there for us. Just like God the Father, that He's there for us. He's there for us to get in contact with. And if we don't get in contact with Him, and if something goes wrong with our life, we can't blame God. We can't blame the Son. We can't blame the Holy Spirit. We have to take responsibility ourselves. We have to say, I'm the blame. But how many people out here blames God? They blame God for this. They blame God for that and everything. And they haven't given God the first chance to try to help them. They don't want to hear that, well, you don't need to be blaming God. You need to be blaming yourself. They don't want to hear that. I didn't want to hear it either before I got saved. I didn't want to hear that I was to blame of what was going on in my life and I was to blame for this going on and that going on and what's going on at the house. I was to blame for it. It wasn't God. God would do what? We don't need to put nothing on God that God doesn't deserve. And God doesn't deserve no kind of blame. That's just like the devil too. We blame the devil for a whole lot of things as Christians. We blame the devil for too many things today that he don't even have no authority over. We blame God because we don't tithe. We blame God because we're not faithful to his house. We don't blame God, we blame the devil because we're not faithful to his house. We blame the devil for this. We blame the devil for that. And I will blame the devil. The reason I'm standing here this morning and my leg is getting weak, I can stand here and I can blame the devil for that. Yes, I can, but why should I? The devil didn't have anything to do with it. It was me. I am the one that has something to do with it. Why? Because I allowed other things to come into my life when I was younger. And then when I got a little older, I started going to the doctor, and I had to take this pill and that pill and everything. But when I got off of the pill, I come to find out I'm feeling better. When I got off of the sugar pill, when the doctors finally told me, said, you have got to come off of the sugar pill because of your kidneys and your liver. You've got to. You don't have no choice. When I come off of that sugar pill, which was metformin, and all the doctors now today, they don't approve of it. But when I come off of that pill, my sugar has been down and has been normal ever since. It stays in there. A low 100, around 128 is a high. I took it this past week. It was 119. I come off the pill. I want to come off some more. Because when I come off of the pill, now, look, I told Shelby and I told my daughter, I said, the doctors are killing me. Every time I turn around, they put me on more pills, and they ain't no more just killing me. And when they took me off that sugar pill, and when I was not even taking a sugar pill at all, my sugar come down, it was at normal. And my daughter come up to me and says, Daddy, you're right. We should have let you come off them sugar pills a long time ago. I says, there's some more pills I'm coming off of too. But I think the doctors gets to the point that he just, you know, they just want to give this pill out and that pill out. But we should not even have to, we don't need to worry about things like that. And I don't worry about it. I know the Lord's going to take care of it. Why? Because the Father, that's his requirement. All righty. We still praying it. Something will happen.
Me too.
Bye-bye. Bye. See you later. But, you know, it's the everlasting sacrifice. The sacrifice that he had at Calvary. He sacrificed everything that he had. He sacrificed his body. He sacrificed his life, which he done it willfully. He did not abide by the soldier because he could have come down from the cross when one of the soldiers there said, if you say that you are who you are, you save yourself and you come down off of the cross. He could have come right off the cross right then. Them Roman soldiers, they wouldn't have had no hope. Even a little later on when Paul and Silas, and when they was in prison, even that officer, that jailer there, that was looking after all the jails and everything. And when the earthquake came, he would have had no hope if Jesus Christ had come off of the cross If he'd have just said, yeah, I can save myself and I'm going to come right down and I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to beat you upside the head too, thinking that you could do this. We would not have no hope. And what do we have if we don't have no hope? We don't have no assurance or any assurance of anything. We don't have no assurance of where we going. We don't even know where we're going. We wouldn't even think about heaven. We wouldn't even think about hell. Why? You know what we'd be thinking about? And what the Catholic teaches. And what they're trying to do today. And that's trying to get people into purgatory. It ain't no such thing as purgatory. But they think it is. But they're sadly mistaken. There's no such thing. And there, not only there, he not only satisfied the Father's requirements and what had to be done for me going to heaven and for you to go to heaven, but he also had something else that he had give up. And he substituted our sin, the sin that we have, he substituted that for his blood. He gave his blood for our sins. Other words, what he's saying is, I give my life. Father, I know that right now, and I believe the Son knew the Father was going to turn his back on him. I really do. Because see, the Father knew the only way that we had any chance at all of going to heaven, that his Son was going to have to die on the cross. But see, his Son took my sin, took your sin, took the whole world's sin, everyone's sin that they had then, had it in the palm of his hands and placed it on his shoulder that day. And when he placed it on his shoulder, then that's when the blood and the water came forth from his side. And then they got scared, the soldiers, they got scared. Why? Because darkness had come around. Darkness had entered in the middle of the day. They didn't have no idea what was going on. But see, Jesus did. His Father did. I believe his mother knew it. I believe the disciples, the ones that was there with her. John was there. Joseph. I believe they knew what was happening. And he was doing it for me. You know, sometimes I just get in my study and I just get on the computer and start just looking at stuff, checking my email and stuff like that. Then I get to thinking. And what he done for me at Calvary. If it was just me, no one else in this vast world that we live in, I mean including the United States, all the countries overseas, if I was the only living soul on the face of the earth that God created, he would still went to the cross. He would have still left heaven. And it is still he would put his own self on the cross. If he didn't have no soldiers around him, because I would be the only one left. I'm the only one here.
He says, Adonai, I know you can't lift this cross because it's too heavy for you. So I'm going to lift the cross myself. And I'm going to plant it in that hole there. And I'm going to plant it there for you. And I'm going to be hanging on the cross for you. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to give my life, and I'm going, and somebody's going to drag, somebody's going to come around, and they may just, maybe a wild dog, or a wild boar, a hog, or something like that, come down and grab a hold of my body and lead me off into somewhere where people cannot even see me, where no other animal can see me, where no other animal can sniff me out. I'm going to do all this for you. Because, God, I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to be able to commune with you. I want to be able to talk to you. And I want you to talk back to me. I mean, that's the kind of Savior that I serve. That He would have done all that just one individual. But I love this song the little children sing a whole lot of times. I got the whole world in my hand. It's not one place in this world that's left out. He has took it and He's grabbed it up, and it's right there in His hand, in His great big hands. And He covers it. And He covers each one of them from harm. Because He wants a chance. And He wanted the opportunity to where He can be able to speak to the heart. And He wants the opportunity to be able to lead them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God the Father wanted. That's what His Son wanted. That's what the Holy Spirit wanted. He says, I'm covering them up. I'm taking them out of harm's way. I want to give them a chance to where they can hear what the Word of God says. I want to be there for them. I want to be there where they can depend on somebody, because they cannot depend on each other. But they need somebody that they can depend on. And I'm so thankful that He is that way. Because really, He can't depend on me. And truthfully, nobody. Everybody can say the same thing. That God cannot depend on me 100%. Let me tell you what. But we can depend on God. We can depend on God with 110, 150, 200, 1,000%. We can depend on God to never go back on what He's told us. Never go back. We can depend on Him. This sin has been settled. Sin itself, S-I-N, had been settled. All I have to do is just come and accept Him. It's been settled. It's been paid for. Their sin has been paid for right here. But they have to come and ask Him to save them. See, it's not always a one-way street. We think it's a one-way street. Either you do it God's way, Well, that's it.
But we've got to do something also. I've got to do something to receive God's blessings. What is that? I got to take up where He left off. I got to go out and visit people. I got to go out. I don't have to go out, but I need to go out. Why? Because that's what He's laid on my heart. That's what He's laid on my soul, that I need to go out and I need to speak to people. And when I go to Lowe's or when I go to Walmart or somewhere like that, I don't need to just hush. I don't need to be quiet and everything and say, "You're getting too loud in here." Hey, if I want to praise the Lord, I can praise the Lord in Lowe's and Walmart just as good as I can here in the church. Why? Because that is a public place. It's not privately owned. It's a public place. Just like this building right here. This right here is a church, but it's a public place where people can come in, hear the Word of God. I've ever had people tell me, said Don, says, when you go in here with me, you need to behave yourself. I said, "Okay, I'll behave myself." I said, "I don't know what kind of behavior you talking about, but I'll behave myself." Then next thing I know, I'll see somebody and I'll walk by them and they'll be talking about church and going to church and everything. And I said, "Praise the Lord." And I'll turn around and I'll go back to him. I said, "Never did thank God I'd see you in church." He said, "But you know something?" He said, "But when God gets out to your heart, He ain't gonna let go. And you can't let go." And I just praise God. I lift my hand up. I'm not ashamed of Him. Because the Word tells me that I shall not be ashamed of Him. And Paul speaks of that in the book of Romans, that where he's not ashamed of the Lord. And also he speaks about it. I mean, Peter even speaks about it, that he's not ashamed of the Lord. Now, after he wrote the book, but before he really got that close to God, he was ashamed of Him because of the people and the company that he kept. And the people that he hung around, he denied the Lord. I can't deny the Lord. But if I stand up here today and if I deny the Lord myself, I fear Him so much that if I die, I'd be so scared that He would take me out. I'm so scared. And I fear Him this much that He said, "Donnie, right now you say you don't believe me. You don't believe what the Word is saying. You think you got all the answers for yourself and you think you got all the answers for the church." He says, "But I've given you the book. I've given you an encyclopedia with 66 books stored in one great big book. And it tells you what you need to do and what you shouldn't do." "Well, God, I really don't want to do that. I really don't want to do it that way. Can I do it this way?" And if I go, I fear God so much if I do it my way. He said, "No more, son, because you're hurting my name. You're hurting me, and you're hurting my name and the people that you come around. Because the people thought one time that you was true. People thought one time that you was faithful to Him. People thought one time that you stood what the Bible said. I'm not going to allow you to go around them now." And then one of the individuals said, "Well, didn't I tell you some years back?"
that it wouldn't be long before you just kind of give up and quit? I knew you weren't going to stay with it. I knew you weren't going to stay with it. You never do. God will take me out of here. God will take me on home. At the age of 66, He will take me on home. And I'll be lacking 4 years in what He's promised me. But I went back on His promises. I went back on His word. So basically, what I done, I stole 66 years of my life. Because I just went out and I was doing it what I thought was right. And I wasn't doing it because that's what God thought. That's what God wanted me to do. No, I fear God so much, I wouldn't do that. I mean, that's just like, I fear God so much that if right now, if He tells me, if He tells me through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gets so heavy and so strong on me, and He says, Donnie, you go down that hall and you run. You run with every ounce you got, and you run through them doors, and you run outside, and you run around the parking lot. My wife looking at me, she said, he can't do that. But let me tell you what. If that small, still voice through the Father and then through the Holy Spirit tell me to come down, run down this aisle, go through, open that door, run down them steps, and go out there and make a circle in the parking lot, and then come back up and run up them steps and run back in church. If I did not obey Him, and if I did not do that, I couldn't even be able to stand. And I wouldn't be able to stand up here no more. I'd have to sit down every service. I don't want to do that. I want to obey the Spirit of God. I want people to feel the same kind of joy and the same kind of happiness that I have in my soul. I'm so happy right now that if anybody come right in this church right now and if they pulled a gun on me, I start praying for them right then. I says, you're not going to pull a gun. You cannot pull a trigger. You cannot pull that trigger. That's how much I believe in God. That God will take that individual and He will take His finger and freeze it. Freeze His finger where He would try to pull the trigger. And He would take His other hand and get on it and He would put His other finger down. Where it worked a few months ago. But to take and put that other thing in. And as soon as he puts that thing in there, right up under the, and right towards the trigger, I believe God will freeze that finger also. Then if something did happen, and he did fire, and he did pull a trigger, I believe God would be standing right here. That's how much I trust God, and that's how much I believe in God, that God can stop the bullet. God can ricochet that bullet right out the door. He said, preacher, don't try. I'm just telling you. I have that much faith in my God. That he's not going to allow anything to hurt me as long as I stay true to him and stay true to his word. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I did not think, really,
I did not think that I would ever live to be able to start drawing Social Security. I made sure that I'd be dead or I'd be in the nursing home or somewhere, because I'd have been in an accident or something. But I never thought in a million days of this life that God has promised me 70. He promised me. He says, Donnie, you're going to live till you're 70 years old. It don't make no difference what the doctor says. The doctor can give up on you and he can say, well, your kidneys ain't working. They failing on you. Your liver's failing on you. But have I told you that your kidneys has failed? Have I told you that your liver's failed? No. He says, you're not going home until I pick up the phone and I call you myself. And I say, son, now it's time for you to come home. Your work on earth is done. You need to come on home. I believe God, the Lord Jesus, he was a carpenter, wasn't he? I believe God has him building stuff, and he's having wood. He's had the wood the way he was crucified on. All the trees that he grew, that he gave the Lord Jesus the privilege to be able to take a piece of wood that long. I'm saying that long. I don't know. But I believe the Lord, God the Father, the Lamb, the Lord, to make each one of us a welcome home sign, to where he places it over our door in the inner mansion where we're going to be at. I don't know what my mansion is going to look like. It may not look like, it may not be no bigger than an outhouse I hear. But it's still going to be a mansion. You know why it's going to be a mansion? Guess what's around me? It may not be in gold, which I think everything is, but I'm just saying, the mansion that he gives me may not look no better than that outhouse that we've seen in the past. But that outhouse is going to be placed on the foundation that wears silver and gold. We're going to be looking, when we walk down the streets of gold, we're going to be looking at it as transparent glass. Gold, the gold part is going to be so shiny that we're going to be amazed of it. And just think about it. Just think about putting your feet together. Just take and put your feet together. Let them just, like the soldiers do, knock your knees together, knock the heels together, and you got your both feet together like that. Just think about just standing there. Right there. I'd be standing on more gold than the United States has ever seen. I'd be standing on more gold than what this world has seen. Why? Because it's of transparent glass. It has no flaws to it. Why doesn't it have a flaw to it?
Because, see, God inspected it. God inspected. Really, when it comes down to each one of us, we don't have, in God's sight, we don't have no flaws. Because we'll go to the Savior. I've been to the Savior. I don't know how many different times I've been to it. And I just asked Him. I said, forgive me of my sins. Please just forgive me of my sins and crucify me one more time today. And he obeys the Father. He does. He obeys the Father right down to the period mark. He goes to the Father and says, Father, says, one of yours, he's my brother, but he's sinned against me, against the Holy Spirit, and he said, he sinned against you. But he's came and he's asked for forgiveness. And he says, Father, would you please forgive him? And his father will turn right to his son. And he says, son, what sin are you talking about? The only thing that the father sees on my life, in your life, is the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Lord, we pray, God, Father, as we get ready from here and we go home, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll give us a safe trip there. And, Father, you'll be with us again tonight when we come back. And, Father, help us, Lord, that we can be mindful, Father, for what you have us to do. Father, we can be anchored in our word. We can be anchored with you. And we can be anchored for this world that we come up against each and every day. We can be anchored in your word. To where, Father, that we can be able to speak to someone else about Jesus Christ. And Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus. And we just ask, Father, you'll be with us again this afternoon. Be with us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.